Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure, as always. Mr. Gracious, Mr. Humble, at your service. You're going to be glad you hung out with me because we got Don Lambro back on the show. Don's our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, and he is chief political correspondent for the Washington Times, and our good friend, Don Lambro. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim.
It's good to have you back.
Thanks for having me.
Big doings in our nation's capital these days.
Yep, a lot of battling, of course, over health care, and growing concern about the economy and its direction and what's going to happen to that.
Well, you know, this health care thing, there are a couple of issues on the table, and I've been reporting on them, but I think it's important that we continue to keep these conversations, these topics on top of mind out on Main Street, Don, because I think that there are a couple of things that are being debated right now that have the potential to set America on a course that we could look back and regret, and one of them is healthcare reform. And the other one, is the cap and trade, the energy, the carbon emissions restrictions debate.
Right.
Those two issues, and the second one is being debated, but it doesn't seem to have much life and legs right now. Am I correct about that?
Are you referring to cap and trade?
Yes.
Yeah, I would say, you know, right now I don't see the House bill going through the Senate. There are just too many Democrats who come from Midwestern states,
yep,
states that depend upon oil and coal, and that impacts on their economies, which are hurting now very badly. And this is a huge tax on that, making their
right,
the road steeper for their economy. So, yeah, that's not going anywhere in the Senate.
Well, and folks, if you're not completely familiar with what we're talking about, the Waxman-Markey bill in the House is the bill to limit carbon emissions by everybody, by companies, by factories, by people like you and me, individuals, limit our carbon emissions to or at least restrict them, beyond which if we go beyond that, we have to pay for that, pay an extra fee to the government. The government would basically nationalize carbon as its own commodity, and pay it. We'd pay a tax to be able to use carbon, but the unfortunate part about that, Don, is that we would be doing it unilaterally, while the rest of the world is really. I mean, India and China have said forget about it, and Europe is already struggling to accomplish their restrictions that they signed on to in the Kyoto Accord. So they're not exactly complying with what they've already said they would do.
No, we saw that with India, with the Mrs. Clinton's little visit there, and they said that we're not be part of this. They're focusing on their economy and growing it. So this would be a huge tax. You're absolutely right, Jim, on the economy, and particularly on the states that can least afford it, that are in the most trouble economically.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add to that the whole taxes that would be imposed on businesses with this whole health care initiative, and you've got a tsunami of taxation on a weakened, anemic, a downturned economy.
Right.
That means many more years of anemic growth. I mean, you had the Fed just recently saying we may have 3, 4, 5 more years of very low unemployment and very slow anemic growth.
You mean very high unemployment?
A very high unemployment.
Yes, uh-huh.
That's correct.
Yes.
And very anemic growth. And Bernanke and the Fed are forecasting that, although they say the recession will end by the end of this year, but that doesn't mean we're going to have this kind of growth we had after the recession in the 80s. I think it is going to be anemic because there's no capital investment in Obama's plan. It is totally absent. And 11% of the $800 billion in this so-called stimulus bill will be spent by the end of the year. That is just a thimbleful of stimulus, if you want to call it that. I don't think it is. In a what used to be a $14 trillion economy, it's not having an effect. And if there's any improvement in the economy, it's because of individual entrepreneurs and businesses and the brilliance they apply to struggle to bring their businesses back. And that's what we're seeing in this economy right now and with the stock market.
Well, absolutely. And when we come back, I want to talk. We'll get Don to talk to us about some of his reporting on these issues, especially the first issue I mentioned, which was the health care reform debate that's going on right now, and a few other things that are happening all at one time, folks. It's kind of a perfect storm that we've sailed into here. 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Don Lambrow. Welcome back. 17 till 43 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. Little Jimmy bringing us back. Jimi Hendrix. That's my favorite song of his. And we got some good stuff going on at our website. I hope you'll check it out at smallbusinessadvocate.com because you can go there and read. You can listen to interviews. You can find articles. You can ask questions. You can check out my blog. You can subscribe to my free newsletter. We'll follow you home with stuff. We got lots of stuff that we've designed there and have established so that you can say, hey, Jim, follow me home. This is what I'm interested in. These are the things I like. Send these things to me. And so we'll give you that capability. So I hope you'll check all that out at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Don Lambrow is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Don's an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, chief political correspondent at the Washington Times, one of the growing newspaper organizations in the country. Right, Don?
It is. The rest of the newspaper industry is shrinking, and we've been expanding.
What do you attribute that to?
Well,
it's all you, right?
Well, it's John Solomon, the executive editor, who came on board last year at 150 miles an hour and just introduced a lot of new features and a lot of new initiatives for the newspaper. We had to undergo some changes and some layoffs, but then they began to build the name brand for the Times, which is very strong, and introduce a lot of features, and they began hiring a lot of really top-notch people. So, well, we're a paper that's growing and going against the grain here of the newspaper industry, and that's important for Washington because if we didn't have just a one newspaper town, that would be really dreadful getting one point of view on the nation's capital.
Well, and of course, with your website, WashingtonTimes.com, it really is a national paper, isn't it?
It is very much a national paper, and we have a national edition as well. But it's become even more a multimedia corporation on our website with lots of video features and a new talk radio initiative with John McCaslin, and that is really growing. So they're reaching out to a lot of different areas, and they're becoming a role model for how to grow the newspaper industry.
Right, and how to turn it around. A new paradigm for industries, for the newspaper industry, no question, is doing it the way you guys are doing it, and other publications are doing that as well. I know Forbes magazine has been very successful with using the model kind of basically that you described in bringing their print operation into the 21st century with the internet and these are models for you and me and our small businesses.
Yep, can turn things around if you show imagination and initiative.
And recognize the way people are moving, what they want, and how they want to get it.
That's right. Things change, and you've got to change with it.
Yeah, exactly. Don, let's get back into the political debate. And one of the things we were just talking about the cap and trade bill, the energy bill, the carbon emissions restrictions debate that's going on right now. That's kind of fallen by the wayside, as you mentioned. I really think that the rebuffing that Secretary of State Clinton got in India a few days ago was another nail in the coffin of that. Basically, India said, forget about it. We're not gonna hamper our growing economy because of some attitude that you guys in America have about climate change. We're just not going to do that. And I think that kind of put the kibosh on the cap and trade bill. But
I think you're right.
But this health care bill is something that gets every day that goes by, Don. The details become a little clearer, and the more we know about this what the administration and Congress is proposing, the uglier it gets, doesn't it?
It does, and the Congressional Budget Office last week really put the kibosh on this when it said that the bill's being considered. We're not going to reduce the cost of health care. That's been the biggest complaint by Obama and all those who are pushing this, that we've got to do something about costs. The CBO went before a committee in the Senate and said this is going to increase costs. And, of course, it was talking about the costs that the government was going to be paying out. But also, I think, and CBO didn't, I don't think, focus on this aspect of it, but the costs within the whole health industry are going to climb. Because when you increase demand with trillions of dollars of subsidies, the cost will rise up on an industry that is just struggling to deal with the business it already has, and they are, as you know, hospitals. They're undermanned. They're understaffed.
Hospitals are having a hard time right now,
and we see that in Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. You know, that is the look to Massachusetts a few years ago. They put a universal plan in, and the secret that hasn't gotten out of that state, although locally they're reporting it, is that costs are skyrocketing in Massachusetts, yeah, and the waiting time to get to see a doctor or a surgeon has climbed exponentially. So,
well, there's another example, and that's TennCare in Tennessee. Are you familiar with that?
I have read about that.
Tennessee has a program not unlike the one you just described for Massachusetts, which Mitt Romney tried to get installed the correct way, and he failed because of the legislature wouldn't eliminate the mandates. They kept lately on mandated coverage onto a basic policy, but Tennessee has had a program called TennCare, and that's basically become a failure. And it's not unlike what's being proposed by the administration. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, folks, there's something called ERISA that's probably in the new proposal will be abolished in 5 years. And we're going to talk about that when we come back. You may not know what ERISA is, but it probably is something that you're impacted by. Stay with us. I'm here. The Stones bringing us back. Little Mick Jagger on vocals there. 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Welcome back. Don Lambrow is our good friend. He's with us. He's chief political correspondent with the Washington Times and our good friend, longtime member of our Brain Trust, also the author of the book called Fat City, which was one of Ronald Reagan's favorite books. So if you get a chance, you can still find that in the aftermarket. I think it's out of print, but it's in the aftermarket.
Time ago.
Yeah, but it should be rediscovered and relaunched, Don, and so maybe we'll sell a few million copies for you here on the show. Hey Don, folks, when we went to the break, I was talking about ERISA. Tell the audience what ERISA stands for.
Well, it's the Employee Retirement Income Security Act. I'm generally familiar with it. I have not focused on the issue.
Well, it gives companies like General Motors, huge companies, and credit and labor unions who have the ability to self-insure. It allows them to insure people across state lines without having to deal with a lot of the state regulations and the state expenses, the insurance commissioners, that kind of thing. Under this proposal, according to the Wall Street Journal, Don, under this proposal that's being made right now by the administration and by the House bill for health care reform, in 5 years, ERISA would be eliminated. That means about half of Americans who are currently being covered by a plan like that, millions, tens of millions of people, would that capability to get health care through their employer under ERISA would be eliminated.
Mm-hmm. And the Wall Street Journal says, particularly this is going to happen under this House health care bill that has come out of one committee. It has to go through three all told. And I noticed the Wall Street Journal says the more we inspect the House bill, meaning the House health care Democratic bill, the more it looks like to be one of the worst pieces of legislation ever introduced in Congress. Right. Well, that bill...
That's saying something, isn't it?
And it is saying a lot, and I'll tell you, that bill's not going anywhere in the Senate.
Well, here's
that
the thing...
There's no way it's going to get anywhere.
Here's the thing, Don, that ties this to small businesses. Mike Inslee, Senator Mike Inslee of Montana, tried to pass a Small Business Association health plan bill, which passed the House 8 times a couple of years ago and never got through the Senate. And this would have allowed small business owners to have effectively had their own ERISA, meaning we could have joined with chambers of commerce across the country, with our national trade groups in our industry. We could have joined with them and through much larger buying groups, we could have bought insurance across state lines, and we could have saved insurance. We could have saved on premiums. We could have aggregated risk. There was so much benefit, and that single thing that failed to pass the Senate, largely because of Ted Kennedy, who fought this thing tooth and nail. If that had happened, we might not be having some of the problems we've got right now with the uninsured, with the escalating cost of health care. Some of that could have been abated by this bill, but they don't want to see, Don, what could happen if you turn small business owners loose in the marketplace and let them buy insurance wherever they want to buy it.
No, I mean...
They don't want to see that, because that would be a success story.
That's right, and also... They are ideologically wedded to the idea that the government should hand it out because it creates a new constituency or larger constituency for them that are beholden to them at re-election time. That's why they always want the government-centered, government-run program, no matter what the issue is, and not have the private sector deal with this more efficiently.
Well, and I'll tell you, folks, Don, am I overstating the case to say that we're currently in a very dangerous, potentially dangerous time right now in the national debate?
Oh, I'd say so, very much so. For one huge reason, we're entering into a period where we're going to have perhaps long-term growth, but it's going to be very anemic, very weak, with above par unemployment. And these bills, like this health care bill, are going to exacerbate that and put new bills on the American economy and on American businesses, particularly small business. Mm-hmm. And that's going to suffocate further job creation in this country. And so that is very dangerous.
And if that weren't enough, Don, on Friday, minimum wage goes, I think it's this Friday, minimum wage goes up to $7.25 an hour.
Yeah, and how do little businesses deal with that? That's another reason. And then, of course, they're cutting back on trade. Yep. They're hitting growth at just about every hot button you can.
Yeah.
And eventually the chicken's going to come home to roost for Obama, and his numbers are going to keep falling.
Don Lambro, thanks for being here. Good job today. Don
thanks
Lambro is here
me.
With the Washington Times. He'll be back. I will be, too, after the news. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.